Welcome to the Death Care Marketing Show.
What if your funeral home was full of people, but nobody had died? Tonight, we're talking about movie night at the mortuary. Stop selling and start screening. We're going to talk about education, storytelling, and even movies that can become one of your most powerful pre-need strategies you've ever tried. Gail Rubin is here with us. She's a certified thanatologist, TEDx speaker, and the author of 98.6 Mortality Movies to See Before You Die. Here it is. And just in case you didn't know, I'm Mary Barnett, and this is the Death Care Marketing Show. We talk real funeral home marketing, strategy, automation, compassion, without the fluff. I've got 37 years of marketing experience, and I'm bringing you death care thought leaders to share what works, what doesn't, and what's worth doing now. So let's get into it and bring up Gail. Here you are.
Hello, Mary. Great to be with you.
Good to be with you, too. We were talking before the show and had so much fun. I'm like, we better start recording because all these stories are so amazing. We don't want to miss any as we were going. So, Gail, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to be the doyen of death.
Well, my background is actually public relations and event planning. And in 2000, I got married to my husband, Dave. We had a really creative Jewish Western wedding. Everybody had such a good time.
Sounds like fun.
It was. We had a Western swing band and a converted horse barn with sawdust on the floor for the reception.
Fun.
I neglected to tell my mother about the sawdust and, he wore open-toed shoes. That was not cool. but after all of the great fun we had at that wedding, I wanted to write a book about creative life cycle events and call it Matchings, Hatchings, and Dispatchings.
Love it. I love alliteration.
Weddings, births, and deaths. I got to write a monthly feature in our local newspaper, and it was the stories about death and funerals that got the most reader response. And
you know,
we don't need another book about wedding planning.
Right.
16 years ago, there was not much about creative funeral planning. So I focused on funerals, and a good goodbye, funeral planning for those who don't plan to die, was my first book in the field.
Nice.
Humor, a light touch on what many consider a dark topic.
Yes.
And it changed the course of my career. I became certified in thanatology, which is
nice.
The study of death, dying, and bereavement.
Right.
And in fact, ADEC, the Association for Death Education and Counseling, gave me their 2024 Community Educator Award, which is a great honor.
Wow, that's impressive.
Creative outreach to get people to talk about death and plan ahead for it.
Yeah.
I was one of the first people in the United States to hold a death cafe in September of 2012.
What's and a death cafe?
We will talk about that. That's okay. An opportunity for people to come together and talk about what's on their hearts and minds about mortality.
Aww.
without you know, being sold or tried to influence people. It's just an open forum for people to talk. And it has spread to a worldwide movement.
Wow.
I'm very proud to have been one of the first people to do that in the United States.
Yeah, that's so important, Gail. Like we talked about offline that we both have been through a lot of death in our lives. And it's a topic that people aren't comfortable with, but everybody dies, right? Death and taxes.
The mortality rate is holding steady at 100%.
Right? Yeah, you're not getting out of this thing alive, right? One of my clients always says, you know, there's no U-Haul behind the hearse. So,
right. You
know, you might as well live this life, ring it all out for every, and I read this quote about, it says, die empty, right? Give it all in this life because you can't take it with you.
Yeah.
So your wisdom, yesterday I was in a summit. And my talk, I love AI and what it can do for us. And it was called How to Use AI to Create Your Legacy. And I was talking about how important it is based on all of my personal experience. And of course, now professional in the space, that there's always questions that are left unanswered. And so why don't you answer all the questions before you go? So you leave your family, your legacy in a written format, voice format, video format, something that they can hold on to. So there aren't those questions, at least not as many. I mean, there's always going to be questions, right? No. So, what an honor. And no. I was going to say, I have already been talking about your book and we haven't even launched the show yet. This is her book that just came out, 98.6 Mortality Movies to See Before You Die. This is awesome. Oh, yeah. So let's talk about the two different, for those listeners who are just listening audio, you can't see this, but there's two books. They're exactly the same, but different covers. And yours, mine has a movie marquee and yours is The Grim Reaper. Tell us about The Grim Reaper.
The Grim Reaper eating popcorn for Mortality Movies.
I love it.
This was the original cover. And I was working with Precoa on doing a mortality movie night with a funeral home. And the owner said, "We do not associate our brand with the Grim Reaper." I was like, well, okay. I can do a different cover. So that's why I came up with the movie marquee cover. And it's interesting. My deathy kind of friends like the Grim Reaper cover and other folks like the movie marquee cover. So
No, I love that. And we all have personal, like when you talk about personalizing your wedding, your funeral, any of your life, you know, we all like different things and that's okay. And that's what's nice about pre-planning on that theme is that you can plan the party that you actually never attend, but you're planning the party that you want people to enjoy if you choose to have it after you die. But we're also going to be talking about planning a funeral before you die, that you can have people come and tell you how they feel about you while you're still alive, which I think is a fantastic idea.
And it's interesting, when my first book, A Good Goodbye, came out in 2010, that's 16 years ago, I wrote about living funerals. I actually knew a man here in Albuquerque whose father had a living funeral in like the late 1980s. And it was big news at the time.
Wow. Wow. And you said that one of the movies that you show is about that. What was the name of it again? You said Felix was the character.
Get Low. It stars Robert Duvall and Bill Murray. And it's set in the 1930s, it's based on a true story of Felix Bush Brazil, who had his own funeral while he was still alive. And thousands of people turned out for it. It was big news in the 1930s. And so this film it's not exactly how the true story happened, but
yeah. That's awesome. Well, I have so many questions for you. So let's get into that. I mean, we could talk about things for days. I mean, you're so fascinating to me. So let's start here. Funeral homes struggle with one thing consistently. And again, because this show is really designed to help funeral homes learn, get some new ideas, learn different ways of doing things they may not have thought of, and also avoid some landmines of maybe they had thought about something, but they didn't know, and you could totally help them. So this is something that's hopefully very helpful and tactical for people as well. So that's kind of the premise of the show. So let me ask you this question. How do we get people into the building before they need us? Why are end-of-life conversations still so hard for some communities, for most communities?
Well, the main issue is people are going to funeral homes just for funerals.
Right.
And that means death. Somebody they love has died, or they know somebody whose loved one has died.
Right.
And that is kind of a downer. It's But so getting people into the funeral home location for something other than a funeral can really build up that community connection and warmth
and trust.
Trust and get to know your people at the funeral home. So between a death cafe setting where you could use your reception center to host people coming together and just talking about the topic,
right.
No selling of pre-need,
right.
but to, you know, talk to actual funeral directors as a personal connection
right.
can really build that community connection.
For sure.
the whole mortality movie night idea, which we will get into more detail, is another great way of doing it. And Before I Die festivals. I've had great responses with the public coming to a funeral home or a funeral home cemetery combo and learning about behind the scenes stuff and having panel discussions. One funeral home cemetery combo in Bakersfield, Greenlawn, did a full one day Before I Die festival, and they sold more than 100,000 in pre-need from that one event.
Wow, so wow, wow.
Very successful. Yeah.
Wow. Just opening the opportunity for people to talk about it and deal with it in a way that doesn't feel weird. I think, yeah, because when you get more than you know, a handful of people together, they're going to realize that they're not alone in how they're thinking or how they're feeling. They maybe have pushed it down. And you have a really cute quote in your materials. It says something like, what was it? Like, just talking about maybe what makes you pregnant.
Talking about funerals won't make you dead.
Yes. I love that. It's so true. Like, yeah. And what's funny is since I have been focusing on space, as we said offline, that I've been in business for 37 years, but I've only been in the death care space professionally for about three. I've obviously been in it personally for a long time, but it's interesting when I tell people, oh, I help funeral homes or I work in death care, they kind of like do a face. I'm like, I said, it's just like any other business, you know, they need to bring in customers, but it's something that, you know, we can't avoid. But they're also there. It's, as we were saying, they actually are doing sacred work. They're people who they got into this industry, not to make a lot of money, because they wanted to make a difference in people's lives, to be there in some people's the darkest time in their life. And they're there to lift them up or at least catch them as they're falling, because grief is so hard. We talked about this as well, as that you're a widow and you know firsthand what it's like. And you said your husband and you guys pre-planned and you were so grateful you did.
We did. So about 5 years ago, we had a bit of a financial windfall. And I said, you know, I've been preaching this pre-need, you know, message for many years now. We need to go and take care of this. And we did. Now, I'm totally open and honest about, you know, we need to talk about this stuff and we need to do something about it.
Right.
So we did put our plans on file and we did pay for them. And 2 years later, my husband went in for a low-risk surgery, and he developed medical complications, heart attack, sepsis, kidney failure. Within 3 weeks, he was dead. Yeah, it was.
That fast. Sweetheart. Oh.
Yeah, he coded in the hospital. He was revived. He was in the intensive care unit for a week. And at the end of that week, you know, we thought maybe he would get well enough to go to rehab. And it was just the surge you have heard about before people die. He crashed the next day and they said, it's time for comfort care. And he was in an inpatient hospice for the last week. And I was with him around the clock. And it was, he waited until I left the room to make a phone call to die. He didn't want me to see him die.
A phone call?
Yeah, I went to talk to a girlfriend.
Oh, you went for a phone call. I was thinking he said, will you step out? I'm going to make a phone call.
He wasn't making a phone call. No.
I got to book tickets for our trip next week. I don't know.
But so within a day or so going to the funeral home to finalize the arrangements. I'm walking into the funeral home with my brother-in-law. And I said to him, I do not know how people who haven't planned ahead can do this.
Right. Right.
Because it's so overwhelming when someone you love dies.
Yeah.
To have those decisions already made, the information already on file, such a stress reliever.
And 100%. 100%. Yeah. And I think that sometimes people think that it's going to be so difficult. I think we should switch around. I was talking to another guest about switching around the planning process where you talk about the celebration. And because I really feel that services matter. Having an event where people come and tell you stories that you've never heard about your loved one. You know, it helps with that closure. It helps you down your path of grief, the healing process. I think people that choose, oh, we're just going to do a direct cremation and be done with it. Like, you know, give me back the box and I'll be fine. That's a ripple. That's going to hit as a ripple effect because it does come back. The grief hits you. It's not linear. Yeah. You know, it's cyclical. Like it's, you know, and I think having that services. So when you can pre-plan everything and get it done, then you can focus on the fun part, you know, of honoring their life and with humor or, you know, with all the things that they love that you can honor them and honor yourself mm-hmm. with that. So I'm so proud of you.
You know, Dave and I love movies, which is
obviously
why I dedicated this book to him. And it's Young Frankenstein was one of his favorites. And there was one line in Young Frankenstein that he always made him smile. And I wound up putting it on his headstone, on his memorial marker.
Which was it?
Elevate me.
Elevate me.
Now? Right here?
Yes, yes. Raise the platform.
Oh, the platform. Oh, that. Yeah, yes.
Right before they're going to animate the monster.
Right.
And he says to Terry Garr, elevate me. And she's like, what? Right here, right now? And so when I thought of that, and I was like, you know what? That will make me smile when I go to visit.
When you see it. Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, we always say, oh, mystery of life, I finally found you.
Mystery of life, at last I found you.
As and I are also, I was saying that our whole life is quoting movie quotes. So like, we don't have conversation, we have movie quotes in our life. That's awesome. Okay, we have to get back on track here. So that is so true. Getting people into your building or creating a space where they don't have the pressure of something that's uncomfortable. And so what makes movies? So again, back to this book. This is a phenomenal book for everybody in the funeral space. Like if you own a funeral home, you need this book. If you sell pre-need life insurance, you need this book. Like this gives so many ideas. The premise basically is that she's picked out books that have a theme where someone in the book is dealing with death or end of life issues. And then she actually has questions. Okay, I have to give a pitch on your book because seriously, I love this book so much. It actually has questions that you can ask after the movie's over based on the emotions that are in the book. So people are now, once they read it, like maybe you should answer this question instead of me just going off. But what is it about a movie that opens people up to be able to start having a conversation about the movie and the themes in that movie? What is it about that?
Well, so I mentioned death cafes and the death cafes that I've been holding primarily attracted women. And I thought, well, what if we did movie nights and then talked afterwards about mortality issues? So it's taking that death cafe discussion idea, tying it to a movie and the stories told in the movie and the lessons we learn in the movie. And I found more men would come to watch a movie and then, okay, stick around for the conversation. So it expanded the conversation, ties it to the emotions that movies generate within us, but also illustrates lessons that we can learn about end of life issues on a whole range of subjects, not just funeral planning, but also how we're living our lives, how we approach medical treatment and end of life issues. The fantasy films, I love that chapter. There are so many great things that ponder, you know, what happens after we're out of this physical body. And there's some, you know, fantastic discussions that we can have there. And then there's this whole chapter about mortality and living fully that has struck me, you know, throughout my career as a death educator, is that being aware of your mortality really makes you appreciate being alive.
Yes, it makes you live. There's a thing, live every day like your last. I mean, there's all these amazing books. And that's, I don't know if I said it off screen or on screen, how I just taught a class yesterday about legacy and why it's important to answer those questions for your family. But yeah, so like seriously, she's laid it all out for you. Every movie and the questions you can ask after, like, you're brilliant, Gail. Absolutely brilliant. So I have all these questions we've already kind of answered. You deliberately released this book on National Healthcare Decision Day, right after Tax Day. Because obviously death and taxes, right? What day is National Healthcare Decisions Day?
April 16th, right after.
Next day. Oh, the actual next day.
Yes, after April 15th, yes.
That's nice. I released my book. It was a journal, faith-based journal for women on International Women's Day, March 8th.
Nice.
So it was actually a prayer that it would happen. And you know, you're watching the on Amazon, like when it publishes. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And it was a total God thing. Because as of like midnight, it didn't say published. And I was like, oh, it'll be March. I mean, not that it's a bad thing, March 9th, whatever. But I really wanted it, you know, for promotion, right? We were both PR and marketing people. Anyways, I woke up the next morning. And like I said, it's a God thing because it registered as March 8th.
Oh,
yay. And I was like, yay. Like it was like, woo, which is exciting. So let's start, let's transition to strategy. So the framework that we talked about and came up with is popcorn. It's the popcorn outreach model. And I'll put all this in the show notes. So if you're interested in the show notes, I'll be putting a link to that in the, like I said, where all, every, this is going to be published all over, all the millions of platforms that we'll be on. And so popcorn stands for pick the right film. O, open with purpose. So tell people obviously what you are going to be talking about. P, prompt discussion. C, connect it to planning. O, offer next steps. R, repeat consistently. N, normalize the conversation. So with that laid out, because again, in the book, you have that whole strategy. So brilliant. If I'm a funeral home list owner listening right now, how do I choose the right movie?
Well, part of that is, what is your community like? And I highly recommend a comedy to attract people to a conversation. At least your first one, yeah. But, you know, there are documentaries. If you want to do just a short, you could do a TV show. My absolute favorite recommendation is the Chuckles Bites the Dust episode from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. If you only want to have them for 30 minutes watching something.
Oh, I watched that recently. You're so right. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
You're right. It's short and sweet.
And it ponders mortality. It talks about funeral planning right at the very end. They go back to Mary's apartment to talk about, and they talk about what they might want. Lou Grant says, just, you know, stick me outside in the garbage with my hat on.
So Lou Grant.
Yes. Ted Baxter wants to be frozen and reanimated.
Of course he does. Of course he does. What about Betty White? What was her character?
She says she wants to be cremated and have her ashes scattered on Robert Redford.
Sue-Ann. Wasn't it Sue-Ann?
Oh, yeah. I don't think she said what she wanted, but.
Okay. Well, Sue-Ann was Ted Baxter's wife, right?
Girlfriend. I guess she became
his wife. They had a little boy at one point, little child.
Yeah,
I was a big fan of Mary Tyler Moore, the hat, you know.
So that is aging ourselves. The perfect short episode to, you know, show people, they're going to laugh. And the great thing about laughter is that it releases endorphins into your bloodstream, which helps people relax about a very stress-inducing topic.
Yes.
And so pick, I prefer a comedy to start with. I love Defending Your Life, which is, you
that
know.
That movie. Oh my gosh. Yes.
A fantasy film. Yeah. But the guy dies because he's literally hit by a bus at the very beginning. Yes. And it's like, that's a good starting point. What would you do, or what would your loved ones do, if you got hit by a bus?
Right. Yeah. Seriously, It is when I, that movie, love it so much, Meryl Streep. And it also talks about, again, my kids always say, you give away the whole movie, Mom. But the fact that it was interesting, the difference in their lives, right? She was obviously a very brave, courageous woman who wasn't afraid of things. He was exactly the opposite, afraid of everything, people judging him, all this stuff, and how their life trajectory went based on the, you know, the trial. Again, I don't want to give away too much, but it makes you realize, wow, I'm diminishing my life by thinking small and being afraid. I need to be bold. I need to be brave. Like it, like, oh my gosh, that was a life-changing movie for me. I absolutely loved it. So the question then is, how do I keep this experience, this movie night, mortality night, the movies, how do I keep it from turning into a sales pitch if I'm a funeral home?
So think of it as an introduction to your community. Have senior management or the owner there to welcome people to our funeral home. We're so glad to have you here to watch a movie with us and right. have your staff there. And of course, have your pre-need people there.
Sure. You and want popcorn.
And popcorn and chocolate and, you know, some beverage. I suggest lemonade, water. You don't have to do sodas unless
we did an event at a local funeral home, and he didn't want to ruin the chapel because there was kids. We licensed cocoa for Day of the Dead, Dios Muertos, and so we use sparkling waters. They have all the flavors now, and they're not sticky. So that's an idea for you. Anyways, keep going.
And then to watch the movie, and then. I don't know if you would want to have another person like a death educator like myself or a local person or a social worker with a local hospice. This is a great opportunity to partner with other local businesses, the hospices, the estate planning attorneys, the financial planners, and team up with them.
Great idea.
And reach out to your respective clients to bring them in for this event.
Fantastic. And so when you say it's not a sales pitch, is it just at the afterwards you're like, okay, now we're going to discuss it. And then as these topics come up naturally, it's not something like, okay, now we're going to give you a sales presentation and sign here or anything. So it's just a natural conversation you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I would think the conversation, ideally the conversation turns towards the benefits of pre-need planning, but you're not there to sell them that day. Ideally, you've got their contact information, either when they sign up to attend the event or when they get there, they sign in and they give you contact information. And they should be okay with doing that if they're not. You know, that's okay too.
But that's standard, right? Because of liability, you need to know who's in your building and things like that. So, we have a software called Funeral CRM, and literally on an iPad, they could like just put in their name and their, you know, information, and they can actually give permission if you want to be contacted or not, whatever in there. And then once they come in and they have a great time, they're open to that. But then you have the information is right in your CRM. So then you could, you know, have a sequence of thank you so much for attending. Did you have any questions? We're here for you. Here's some really helpful resources. So that would be kind of cool. So let's make this actionable. If a funeral home wants to host their first mortality movie night in 60 days, what do they do? We could go over like a little, I mean, we've kind of like said it, but what would be something as a party planner yourself, what would be the things that they would do?
Set a day, a day and time, figure that out. Figure out what movie you want to show. If you're going to make it a one-time event, you definitely want to get the licensing to show the film publicly and promote it to the public.
Right.
If you're going to do this on an ongoing basis, there is a blanket license you can get from the Motion Picture Licensing Corporation that would cover multiple showings. However, you cannot promote the specific film title or actors using that license. However, you could say, we're having a movie night. It's going to be about blah, blah, blah. And contact us to find out the title and the stars and sign up. So that can get, you know, people.
Make the phone ring.
Going, and yeah.
Make the phone ring. I love that. That is really cool. We actually, again, just kind of, you don't know what we do, but besides the funeral serum, we have something called the Compassion Concierge. And it's a little AI assistant that sits on your website that answers questions compassionately in the middle of the night. And earlier we were talking about having open conversations, and you'd be amazed what people ask a bot. They know it's a bot, and I think it's safe, so they can feel comfortable. So people have asked, like, what happens when I die? My mom is dying. What do I expect? Like, all these things. And the bot can set up appointments, share resources, all that kind of stuff. It's actually been life-changing for some of these, you know, funeral homes, because they don't have to pick up the phone in the middle of the night for a question like, how much does it cost to buy an urn? Like, little questions like that people have, or can I order flowers? Yeah, here's the link, you know, type thing. So it's saved a lot of time. At the same time, if there's an emergency, of course, they can contact the funeral, the assistant actually calls the funeral director. Everything is great. But what you just said is, maybe if your AI assistant knows the name of the movie, because some people just don't like calling anymore. Yeah. They want to get the information. They can actually ask the bot. And maybe that would, I don't know if that would
get around that. It's not publicly promoting what the specific film is.
Right.
But if you did choose to get the one-time license to promote a film,
yeah,
use your social media, set up calendar, online calendar of events in your market, use your emails. If you work with Precoa, they will work with you to do postcard mailings and get people in. And nice. Really, pack the house.
Yeah.
I actually did a talk with Film Clips in Rockwall, Texas, and they had more than 100 people in their chapel for this event where I showed film clips and talked in between. So that's another option besides showing full movies, is bring me in and
I was going to say, can people hire you to come in and do this kind of presentation?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's good. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't even talk to you about that. So, I mean, obviously there are things on your list too, as you mentioned earlier, partnering with like local hospices and, you know, estate planners and things that it's in their best interest to get people there too. So they could market to their list to bring them out. And how often would you suggest doing this? Like a quarterly basis to bring them to the home?
When I was doing this with French Funerals and Cremations here in Albuquerque, we actually did every other Tuesday night. And
And people that still brought people in.
People were coming. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a huge turnout. It was more like 20. But every time I said, thank you, French Funerals and Cremations, for hosting us here tonight, they all applauded wildly. And one of my regulars actually pre-planned his cremation with that firm because of movie night. And
that's think great. About that.
One out of 20, that's not too bad. But if you multiply that.
It adds up. It adds up for sure. And I think that too, again, something that there's a thought out there that the funeral home just wants to make money. So they want to sell this stuff so they get all this money. No. They're trying to make both your life easier and their life easier. Because when you have everything down on paper, when it comes to the time where you're a deer in headlights because your loved one just passed away and you don't know which way, that's when the extra expenses come up, because you're like, I want this, I want that. Like, I was actually talking with my guest yesterday, and I don't know if we're doing it on screen or not, so I'll share the story. When my grandmother was passing away, I took care of my grandmother her last 8 months of life, which was the hardest and also the most special experience, because I was there in my arms as she went to see the Lord. It was probably about 4 months before she died, and she had literally died twice in my arms, but I wasn't ready to let her go. She was 97, and I brought her back to life twice. Because I was like, I'm not ready. And so I remember like that after the second time, she was like, you know, you can let me go next time because I'm ready. Like, put a fork in me, I'm done. Like, she was joked around about it. And anyways, but my mom and her brother hadn't planned the funeral. She was 97. Like, my grandma never dealt with it, just because I guess, I don't know, she never, but I was like, so they were both leaving on a vacation together, actually. And I said to her, okay, mom, I need to know what to do if Graham dies again. Like I need to know who to call, what to do, who to, you know. And I was young. I was 30 years old. I had a little baby, like taking care of her. And she's like, oh, I guess we should figure that out. I'm like, yeah, you think, you know? And so my mom, in that, if she would have done it when my grandma died, it would have been even more. But because she and her brother went out for a few drinks because they were uncomfortable with it, before they went to the funeral home, I jokingly said, you know, mom, she doesn't need the air conditioned coffin. She wants a pine box. She just wants to go be with the grandpa. Like, just get her what's necessary, you know? And so when she got back, I said to her, I said, so mom, like, you know, what did you get or whatever? And she's like, oh, we bought the most beautiful, shiny, pink, pearlized casket with platinum handles, with the silk and the satin. And she went on this thing. And I was like, and you didn't buy the air conditioning? She was like, no, they don't have that. I'm like, but you probably would have bought it if they did. She's like, well, I'm like, well, you had two bourbons. Come on, mom. Anyways, but it's like, it's true. Like, when you're of right mind, you make more frugal decisions than you would if you're in an emotional state.
Well, yeah, I tell people the good thing about planning ahead saves you money, reduces stress at a time of grief, can help eliminate conflict because the decisions have already been made.
Right.
And you can have the kind of meaningful, memorable, good goodbye that makes sense for that person.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, this segment of the show is called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. We don't give names, obviously, respect for people, but hopefully this is where we help owners avoid preventable pain, as I call it. So again, good. What is one community outreach? I'm going to read these all to you, and then you can decide which order you want to do it in. For the good, what is one good community outreach event that consistently builds trust? Two, the bad, what is a well-meaning event in your history that has fell flat? Like, ooh, yeah, you know, cringe. And the ugly, what is a landmine that funeral homes step on when trying to modernize their outreach? So example, like being too salesy or picking a controversial film or something like that. So again, your choice, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, good is being consistent. If you can do, if you want to do quarterly, if you want to do every other week or monthly, that would be good. Whether it's a movie night, a death cafe, hosting in your reception centers.
Okay.
That, working with the locals.
So people actually come to look forward to it. So if they're busy this month, they can go next month or next, whatever it is, the cadence. Yeah. But you're right. So people have something to look forward to. They know it's coming. They can plan for it and bring a friend. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The bad, showing a movie that doesn't fit your community, or maybe showing something that you haven't pre-screened and it's like, oops, there's some pretty bad language in this film. So
like an F-bomb and everybody's like, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I thought about 6 Feet Under and using that. I mean, it's in the book, but I would not recommend it for a community event because
that's about funeral home owner life.
Yes.
People who are attending probably can't relate to that.
Although there are a few episodes that are really kind of eye-opening that are like the Green Burial episode. Yeah.
Okay. I've only watched the first season. My client said, don't worry about any other seasons. The first season is real, more realistic. The rest get a little wacky. So I don't know if I've seen that one.
Well, that was in the last season. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And the ugly, I don't have any specific example, but I do want to caution about having a license. You don't want a Hollywood attorney coming after you for publicly showing a film without getting some kind of licensing.
Right. That's smart. We work with a company here called Swank Movie. Yeah. I can't remember the name. And we rented licensed our movie through them. And they did tell me that not funeral home specifically, but for companies that have a lot of like dentists and people who come or sitting in their lobby a lot, they have movies that show on their TV. And so they have like a licensing. So I think it's smart. You got to cover yourself, right? CYA.
For sure. The Motion Picture Licensing Corporation offers that kind of blanket license for lobby.
Okay. Good. Yeah. That's a good landmine to jump over. You don't want to get, because they have a lot of money behind them. So you don't want to test that. Okay. So this portion of the show is called Rapid Fire. So I'm going to read you a statement and I'm just going to have you finish the sentence right off the cuff. So the fastest way to make a funeral home feel less intimidating is?
Have events that don't involve funerals.
Awesome. I love it. The biggest myth about pre-need marketing is?
That people won't go to a funeral home for an event that's not a funeral.
Okay. That's good. One movie every funeral director should watch is?
Departures from Japan, 2008. It won the Foreign Language Film Oscar that year. Oh. Focuses on a unemployed cello player who returns to his small hometown, applies for a job thinking it's got to do with travel, and he's actually becomes a mortuary assistant. And he develops as a funeral director, and it's a beautiful film.
どんな仕事をすれば?
遺体を棺に収める仕事。
遺体って死んだ人のことですか?
Okay, yeah. Departures. I haven't seen that. So now I'm like, ooh, and yeah. All right.
It's a book.
I'm gonna put it on my list. And then the last question is the future of funeral outreach looks like?
Outside the box activities.
I love it. Very cool. On that note, I didn't bring this up earlier, but at our local funeral home, we do lots of events and we've done a, sometimes we call it a praise painting because it's a more faith-based, but also we've done a Valentine's painting event, like we call it grief painting. And we've brought in an artist who, you know, as you like those paint and sips where you follow along, but your picture turns out completely different than everyone else's, of course. But the most recent we did was a Valentine's event the week before Valentine's Day. And the premise was come paint a Valentine for your Valentine in heaven. And so people wrote little notes to their Valentine and they put it on the canvas and then they painted over it in the design. So they knew the message was there, their message to their Valentine in heaven. And then when we did the praise painting, people wrote verses. And again, they were under the paint. So again, they could make them out facing if they wanted, or they could cover them up and it was a personal experience. But oh my gosh, Gail, both those events were so special. People walked away with something that they could either keep and cherish or give away. Like one gentleman, he was like, this is not my thing. Like I said, well, give it to your daughter in honor of her mom. And he was like, oh, that's a good idea. I needed to send her a Valentine card anyways. I'll send her this. And I was like, yes, that's exactly what you, yeah. So I think you're so right. Having other things that bring people in as a community and having those conversations where people feel comfortable and they're not going to be comfortable right away. You know, it might be years later, it might be something, but people in your community are your audience. You're not just burying their mom. Someday you might be burying their dad and their, you know, friends. So I think that ongoing relationship, I think is so important. So this is now the fast fix. So I'm going to ask you a question of something that people can do right away. If an owner wants to test this idea in the next 30 days, what's the simplest version they could try?
Well, try a one-time event. If you work with Precoa, let them help market it for you.
Cool.
You can do a full movie, or if you wanted, bring me in and I'll do a film clip talk. Nice. I've been doing on mortality and movies with just a few clips that help people reflect on their lives and their deaths. Yes. And their impact. Yeah.
Yeah. That is so cool. And resources. So we have your website. I'm going to put this again on the show notes, but your website is agoodgoodbye.com. Yes. And you also have beforeidiefestivals.com. In fact, I wanted to ask you more about that. What is the Before You Die Festival?
So it's a collection of activities. It's speakers, this last year, we did a Death is Not a Dirty Word resource fair. So we had tables with death doulas, hospices, estate attorneys, you know, people from the whole range of end of life services, able to just talk to people. And it was very popular. In a 1 day event, we had more than 300 people show up. We would have had more if we had better parking at the church, Unitarian church where we held it.
Right.
But I have held multi-day events at funeral homes. We will have speakers and movies and activities, art activities. We had a band come in called ABQ Skeleton Crew. And so it's a range of activities that can, again, open the conversation and educate people without being threatening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love that. So this is such an important shift. Funeral homes, really, they don't need more ads. They need more conversations. And an education might be the underused marketing strategy in death care. So I hope this helped. Is there anything else before we close the show? Like anything else you want to share?
I love working with funeral directors and the public. And, you know, my motto is talking about sex won't make you pregnant. Talking about funerals won't make you dead. I've been doing this for 16 years. So far, so good.
Yeah, you're still alive and kicking. I love it.
Yep. I salute everyone in the funeral industry. What we do is a blessing to humanity.
Amen.
And we need to keep it up.
Yes, I love that. As we said earlier, I think people in the funeral industry they're doing sacred work. And we talked a lot about during COVID first call or first responders, and their funeral directors are last responders. They're the people who come in to again, pick you up when you fall and comfort you and give you the resources you need. And it is such important work. I encourage people who are thinking of a new career choice. They're looking for good people in this industry that have a heart for serving. It's such gratifying work. It's a hard business, but gratifying, like making such a big difference in people's lives. So we'll stick around, Gail. I'm going to wrap up the show and then we'll end. But it's such an honor to have you on the show. You're just such a blessing to so many people. Again, if you're a funeral home, you need this book. I'm going to put the link in the thing. This seriously, so much good information. I'm not just blowing smoke. Yeah, I know that one, either one. You pick either. I actually love it. But if this was helpful to you and you think another funeral home in your space would be blessed by it, please share it with a funeral home who needs it. And let's continue to do what works and drop what doesn't. We'll see you next time on the Death Care Marketing Show. Bye.